Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going in Raw. Larson, it's our TLC 2015. Once again, it's our pay-per-view episode, and there's no Dan.
That's
where's
right.
Where's Dan?
He's I don't know. He's just not here.
We've been told that he might make an appearance. We're hoping he's going to make an appearance at the Royal Rumble.
Well, that's what the dirt sheets are saying.
The dirt sheets are also saying we might have another guest. If you guys pay attention to our Twitters, we have invited, and he is tentatively accepted. Total Biscuit might be back on the Rumble episode as well. So
yeah.
Hopefully we'll make all that happen.
Maybe and for all the four major pay-per-views, we should make an effort to get an all-star cast.
I think that's a good idea. I know, especially because it'll just let us just, you know, sort of kick back and let them do all the talking.
Yeah, and I really wish I could do that today because I feel like garbage.
You're feeling under the weather today.
That's putting it mildly.
Well, maybe talking about some wrestling will make you feel better.
There's a hurricane. There's a storm a forming.
Yeah.
And his name is Thunder in My Sinus.
Yeah. So we're going to talk TLC today. We're going to talk about what's going to happen for, you know, how this will lead into. We're coming up on the Royal Rumble, which leads to the road to WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
No Book of the Match today. Look, here's the thing about the Book of the Match. The Book of the Match was specifically meant so that Dan, so we could recommend stuff sort
so
of
he could,
to
he
Dan.
He could catch up because he was kind of new to wrestling, so he could catch up.
Right, exactly. And it sort of turned into sort of a way to torture him as well on my end of things because I like showing him 1980s NWA stuff.
I had an idea, a good idea for one for Royal Rumble.
Ah, okay.
But we I guess I could talk about it now. What year was it that Ric Flair won the championship?
91?
91. Yeah, I could do that one.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good idea. So maybe we'll do Royal Rumble 1991. We'll get the word out to Dan and
we didn't watch SummerSlam 2000.
Yeah, we didn't watch that. We totally didn't watch that. Looks like a good show. Sure, lots of people put in lots of hard work for it, but we didn't watch it. And also, you're listening to this, and you're probably watching a card. Because this is the pay-per-view show, you guys always know we don't do video for that.
No, because we want to get it out as soon as possible, and this is easier to put together than the video episode.
Exactly. Like, we're doing this via Skype right now, so...
Yeah, because it's like a half hour for me to get to your place and a half hour to come back, and that's an hour of cutting time I'm losing, so...
Yeah, exactly. So... Be happy with what you got, people. You're going to hear our thoughts. So we've already gone 3 minutes rambling. We're going to talk immediately about TLC. Larson, let's just talk about Roman Reigns. Let's get this out of the way. Let's talk about Roman Reigns.
All right. He's going to be on the thumbnail and the title, so I guess we should.
I think it's probably a good idea.
Yeah. They finally listened to us. Someone over there at WWE is listening to Going in Raw, and they finally realize that Roman should talk less and fight more.
Except for, I think Triple H needs to heed that advice because I heard him call so many spots during his one little segment last night. Did you? Did you hear him?
No, I was listening. I was watching with the volume kind of low.
Okay, that's what I kind of figured. You usually do that with the kids and all, but it was funny. There were two spots in particular. Like when I rewatched it towards, I remember hearing it the first time, and then the second time, I noticed he was literally directing Roman in the ring. Like he tried to do the thing where you're acting one way, but you're saying another thing.
Yeah.
So like he's like, what's your problem? But he's really saying, come on, hit me again.
Yeah.
And he sort of motioned towards himself. And it was kind of obvious that he was saying, hit me here. But then at one point, like the camera was right on the back of his head, like in close up when he's writhing around and Roman had already thrown his chair down.
Yeah.
And Triple H, you just hear loud and clear, says, again. And then Roman Reigns does sort of a double take after hearing that, looks at the chair, picks it up, and does it one more time.
That's funny. You could hear Charlotte calling a bunch of spots during her match with Paige last night.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't hear that one. I wasn't really paying too close attention to that one. But I was riveted. I was fucking riveted. It is so rare. It is so absolutely rare and also indicative of how much we want to care. But
yeah.
it is so rare that two competitors, two superstars, wrestlers, can go into the ring with a crowd that is that apathetic.
Yeah, no
one
cared.
That is that almost, it was like they were aggressively apathetic. And that really does reflect the bad ratings. It really reflects our attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
It reflects everything that we've been talking about because we simply don't care. There's that segment last night with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, and it's just more of the same crap. It's like... Roman Reigns, like, they got the end perfect because he's tired of this shit. If he's tired of this shit, he's not going to be laughing and joking it up.
Yeah. I know Ambrose even looked bored during their segment.
Yeah, he seems tired of being that guy who's just joking it up with Roman Reigns, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't fucking know that's what his deal was. I don't know what to do, but he's like, you know, I'm fucking tired. It seems like he's tired of just being that guy.
Yeah.
And so going into that match... with the crowd chanting, "We want Cena, Cena sucks," with the crowd chanting, I think at one point they were chanting like NXT. At one point they were chanting, I forget what it was. But I kind of noticed off the bat, just in a vacuum, the match started off strong and it kept going strong.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was really physical.
It was really physical. It was brutal, like we've talked about.
They both took some good bumps.
They took some great bumps. There were some really, really good spots all along the paper. We'll talk about this in a bit, but all along the paper, there's some really good spots. There were some really, really good spots. They took some really, really good bumps. The crowd throughout knew what was going to happen. I mean, we all kind of knew Roman was going to win the belt.
Yeah. We knew he was going to get screwed out of winning the belt. Yeah.
But the fact that he actually showed some character development, he actually reached a breaking point. There was some legit sort of acting going on his face. Yeah,
his look towards the end when he walked up the ramp and looked back towards the ring was great.
It was great.
Like, it was like he was like saying just with his eyes, "You pushed me this far. You did this to yourself."
Exactly.
And it was great.
And the weakest part about that whole thing is when he literally said, "I told you I was making a statement." You know, because that stuff, that doesn't need to be said.
I know.
And that takes you out of it. But everything else was great. What stood out to me was when Triple H looks back at him and says, "What's your problem? What are you doing? What are you thinking?" And Roman Reigns has that moment and he starts looking at the chair, looks back at Triple H. That was some really good acting right there. You could see it all in his face, and that's what you want.
Yep.
And so, you know, he takes that chair and starts wailing. He wailed on Sheamus. That last shot on Sheamus looked like it fucking hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He just probably aimed the chair correctly, like at the floor or whatever, because when it hits the floor, it usually feels like it hurts more.
Yeah.
But man, he fucking wailed on him and the crowd ate it. The crowd didn't, like, I don't know if you know, but the crowd was standing up, like, kind of, oh my God.
Yeah. No, I noticed that too.
Like, that's what we've been talking about all along.
Yep.
And it's funny because I was, you know, obviously all these pay-per-views, I try to live tweet as much as I can. And I was getting some response. I was like, you know, he's gone from trash to basically treasure in the span of one match, in the span of one finish.
Well, even the span of about 7 minutes.
Yeah. And I was getting flagged because he was never trash. And I'm like, you know, I'm not talking about the man. We talk about, this is one thing I want to clarify. We talk about character. We talk about the fiction. We talk about the drama, the story that's presented to us.
Yeah.
I'm sure Roman Reigns, I've heard from multiple people that he's a really good guy. He's a nice guy. I think his work ethic is probably outstanding. Mm-hmm. It's just, there are some things where you have to play to somebody's strengths.
Yep.
And do what makes the most sense for the story.
Yep.
And having him be the shooting the breeze kind of jokey tater tots guy, that doesn't play into his strengths. That's not why we all liked him in the first place.
Kicking ass and glaring at people is what plays into his strength.
And he's like, legit doing that.
Like tonight, it'd be great if I don't know, like Reigns shows up, open the show, just shows up in the ring, doesn't say anything. Sheamus comes out, starts talking, and Reigns just gets on the mic and says, "I didn't come out here to talk. I came out here to fight. That's it."
Yeah, that's exactly. It. Yeah. But so let me ask you this. What do you think the odds are that we're going to get that? Or are we going to get more? I think tonight, I hope that they saw what happened, because that was obviously a very deliberate thing that they did.
Because the finish of the match itself, I thought it was a little clumsy because, you know, you have Reigns going up to get the belt. League of Nations comes out. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
They go down. They try to beat him up. He fights out. He gets in the ring. He gets brogue kicked. Rolls out of the ring or something because of it. Or gets kicked out of the ring. Sheamus starts to ascend the ladder. Mm-hmm. Sheamus is taking his sweet time, of course. But then they go to a wide shot and you see Del Rio and Rusev over by the ring post just kind of hanging out. I mean, they're acting like, you know, they're you know, helping each other get up or something.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and Reigns is maybe like 10, 12 feet from them. Right. You know, I thought it would have been a lot more riveting if you see Reigns try to, like, literally claw him his way back into the ring.
Yeah.
And they're there holding his legs back.
Yeah.
Just so, like, you know, you're stacking the odds against him a lot more. Because he got back in the ring, and then right as he got in the ring, Sheamus pulled the belt down, and it's like, okay. It seemed a little anticlimactic. Like, they could have milked the drama a bit more.
You're absolutely right. In its execution, you're correct. I think I'm fine with Rusev and Del Rio not being there, because it kind of makes more sense. To me, it adds drama having just those two. Obviously they're already out there. I think because what they try to do, you saw at the end there, was Sheamus looked shocked that Reigns was still coming back for more.
Yeah.
If if we got some sort of reaction shot from Rusev and Del Rio,
yeah,
of them saying, we just did that to him, and he's still going back for more. We're not sure we want to go over there and fuck with him anymore, or we're just too stunned to do anything. Like
something like that. There's
something.
There's,
you're right. Yeah, something like that.
So many avenues that they could have milked the drama a lot more.
Right. Yeah. But the point was made. He got screwed out of the title. Sheamus got it back. We all saw that coming. But what we didn't see coming was what happened next, and he just went ape shit on everybody, including Triple H, where he just absolutely murdered him. And I loved that last piece of stink when he just speared the shit out of him coming around the corner. Because he puts him through. He number one, he power bombs him onto the announce table, which doesn't break. Then he elbows him, which the table does break. Walks away. You know, gives his stink eye and then sees that Triple H is up and he goes running back to him for one last hit, one last spear. Well, I was absolutely great because the crowd just didn't see that coming. You know,
it's
you rarely get this amount of passion.
I expected the little the copyright graphic to show up that ends the show.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
As he was up on the top of the ramp.
Too often, that's the problem with today's product is that too often it just peters out.
Yeah.
And this didn't. This ended with a huge bang and it just left people stunned, I think. So I fully expect and hope that they continue on with this development tonight.
Let's look into the future with this a little bit.
Okay.
Let's carry this out to WrestleMania and let's kind of talk this through and see where we think it will go.
You suggested last night through text. You're suggesting there's going to be a match with him and Triple H at some point.
I think, you know, some juncture between now and Mania there has to be, based on the level of beatdown that occurred. I don't think what we know about Triple H's character, he's going to sit idly by and take an ass whooping like that.
Sure. I'm wondering how they could fit that in, though.
Well, I mean, it is way too much Daniel Bryan, but they could do something like this. Let's assume at least one scenario where Reigns doesn't face Sheamus for the belt at Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Let's just put this out there. So Triple H could say something to the extent of, "All right, you have to start in the back of the line. So you're first in the Rumble, but only if you beat me first early in the night, or something like that. You know, which again is the page right out of the Daniel Bryan script where at WrestleMania 30. I don't know. It seems like Triple H is now a roadblock. Reigns has to conquer before he can get to Sheamus again.
Here's the thing. They made a huge point last night, and even Reigns' character did this, and the commentators did this, of talking about his career. His career's over. He's finished. He's fired. Blah, blah, blah.
And
he says, "I don't care." So this will be. I'm gonna think that Stephanie's gonna be all about firing him.
Yeah.
Triple H is gonna be all about getting, like you said, getting his revenge.
Yeah.
Putting him through the motions.
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily at this point that means a match with Triple H. I'm not sure if that might be, like you said, that's pulling from the Daniel Bryan book, and I'm not sure they'd want to do that literally.
But they could think it worked with Daniel Bryan, so it could work with Reigns. Granted, the they're different characters.
Mm-hmm. And they're arriving at this place a lot different. When Daniel Bryan was forced with adversity, he just became more positive and hosted a sit-in the ring and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So there's different things. I see what you're saying. Like I could see Triple H seeing himself as sort of a roadblock, but I just don't know how they'd fit it in. I think that for sure at the Rumble we're going to get Reigns going over Sheamus. I mean, I don't know. Do you think they'd extend that out to Mania, though? I mean, No.
Sheamus-Reigns is not a Mania-worthy match, no. That's why I thought maybe if... Because, you know, you've been hearing a lot of... heard some rumors that Lesnar's going to fight Kevin Owens at Mania. So, I mean, if Triple H seems cool doing the job to help people get over.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I don't know if Reigns, Triple H is a Mania-worthy match. It could be. But if Reigns walks into Mania and Triple H... Maybe Triple H will just say, you know what, I can't trust anybody else getting this job done, getting the belt and keeping it. Are one of my guys, so I'm going to be my guy and get the belt back
for
the authority.
I don't know. I don't see that happening. I think it's going to go the way we sort of said. I think he's still going to get the belt. They're going to do something.
But even if he gets the belt at Rumble, then that scenario could still play out with the pay-per-view following the Rumble. We still have two, three months before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Where Reigns and Triple H could have some altercation.
I think it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they still view, as a collective, if Triple H, Vince, all them view Triple H as a guy who can hang with them still. Daniel Bryan was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Sting was last year. Sting's old. I mean, I know he was still presented as a threat.
Well, I think, are you talking exclusively athletically, or are you talking in terms of storytelling? I think in terms of storytelling, Triple H will do fine.
No, I'm not talking about, like, you know, how he can act the role. I'm saying, is his character powered up enough to really want to say, hey, Reigns, you're going to have to take me on now?
Well, I think if they were going to do that, too often with the Authority, they kind of toe the line between, you know, it's their heel when it's convenient and they're not when it's convenient. Yeah, They just have to go full heel if that's their intention.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, this definitely adds some intensity. This adds some tension. This adds everything that needed to be added to it.
Yeah, and hopefully they maintain it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let everybody talk more and have it peter out.
Right. But I was geeked out. It got me interested, and I'm looking forward to Raw tonight. So I mean, in my eyes, it's still he gets the belt at Rumble. Brock Lesnar wins the Rumble, and then Reigns goes over Brock at WrestleMania. They have to understand that you need a lot of really logical twists and turns along the way. We need to be kept. It needs to be unpredictable. We know what the finish is going to be. It has to be about the journey. And when you simply make it about the end, about the last scene, there's nothing that we can grab onto. We don't care anymore. And they did a fantastic job of last night of showing, you know what? You can literally change the fans within, like you said, a 7-minute span. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's like, it's funny because it's like they have an opportunity here to do something different than John Cena. And I think if they see how divisive John Cena is, granted he makes money hand over fist, and that's great, but if they see that, they understand that they can do something different, and they can have their cake and eat it too, you know?
Well, you'd think just to diversify their talent, they wouldn't want Reigns to be a carbon copy of Cena.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want, you know, two of the same characters exactly, you know?
But it's funny
unless Cena's planning on, you know, hanging him up in the next couple of years, which I don't think is the case.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of room for Cena, the ultimate, you know, good guy. And then Reigns, who's more or less a good guy, but's got some edge to him.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Let's talk about the rest of the pay-per-view.
Okay.
I was very happy. There was a pre-show worth watching for once.
Yeah, I missed that match. Was it good?
It was a good match. It was a good match. It's always interesting to see what they can do. I think that the NXT, and you see this with the men too, but the Sasha is, I mean, she's a fantastic wrestler. I just feel like the NXT, the Divas Revolution, as they call it, still sort of finding their footing, but they're coming along really fast. And this is a match that I was really happy to see, and they killed it. They really did. I just want to see stakes involved. You know, I want to see I want to see them doing this for something. I think that'll really add something necessary to this because the wrestling is there. It really is. Love Sasha Banks and
oh yeah,
Team Bad. One of the highlights of the night, New Day.
Yeah.
The New Day match filled with a ton of great spots.
The Big E spot where he's bench pressing the ladder.
Oh, that was great.
The Lucha Dragons on it.
And again, that is sort of an example of when the commentary is on the same page of the match, it really works because we all saw it, but to have, I think it was JBL or Michael Cole, I forget which idiot it was, but literally say he's bench pressing out of the ladder, that actually adds some oomph to it because that says what we're all kind of thinking. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not
being obvious, but it's putting a name to what we're all thinking. And it was like, he's literally bench pressing them on the ladder. That was really cool. Obviously, the huge spot with, I think it was Kalisto and one of the Usos.
Yeah, where the Celina Del Sol off the top of the ladder was crazy.
That was insane.
Doing a lot with the gimmicked ladders. There was three spots with ladders that I assumed were gimmicked to break.
Oh, God, yeah. I think they're wood.
Particle board ladders.
I think, and then they're all spray painted. If you look closely, you can kind of see that. Who did either of us predict anybody but the New Day?
No.
Okay.
We were pretty, I believe we were all
unanimous
in unison in our picks, I believe.
Maybe Charlotte versus Paige, just to be on a different page, so to speak. I think
across the board we predicted the same thing.
All right.
I'll pull it up right now and check.
So we were correct there. Rusev versus Ryback. Did we predict
that? No, that wasn't announced when we recorded the episode.
I was fine going to dinner during this one. I went back and rematched Ambrose versus Owens because I hadn't seen that one. I didn't watch the Wyatt Family ECW one because I hadn't seen that one live.
Wyatt ECW one was bad.
Yeah, Rusev versus Ryback is just a big...
I will say this, though, that when Rusev had Ryback in the accolade and the ref calls for the bell, Rusev flashes a smile on his face that fucking cracked me up.
I'll have to go back and rewatch. So that funny. Sounds like something I'd want to rewatch then. They're playing up this Rusev Lana thing. And yeah. I think, you know what's cool, man, is that by all accounts, she fucked up by doing this whole TMZ thing. And I like that they're not burying them. They're not punishing them. They're running with what they've done. They're running with what they have. And I love that because now that Rusev and Lana are head over heels for each other. And there's more dimension to their characters because of it.
And,
you know?
And Rusev is really running with it. He's doing a great job.
And
like
Rusev,
a smile on his face is like, I'm pleased with my effort.
Yeah.
And I am pleased that I have made my fiance happy. He was so happy. It was great. You should check it out.
And he's sort of towing this awesome line that wrestlers very rarely find themselves in, where you get to be a heel in one part of the show and then almost kind of a baby face in another part of the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Ryback was the baby face here, but nobody cares about him.
No.
He's a perfect example of a character nobody gives a shit about because he just... Wait, like, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, like, you can't be that too long.
No, there's zero dimension to his character.
No dimension. He's created by a 5-year-old, and no 5-year-old's ever written Shakespeare.
No.
Good. What did Ryback? Let me ask this: what did Ryback do? What did he do backstage to piss people off? Now he's getting de-pushed.
I don't know. It's interesting because I read or he sits on. I heard that. I don't know if he was on Stone Cold's podcast or someone else was. He was on somebody's podcast. Ryback was on somebody's podcast, sorry. And said that he went into Vince's office and said that he could take Cena's spot.
I don't know if it was just
while Cena was gone or he meant just period.
Yeah.
And it seems like ever since that news came to light, he's just lost.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I watched the during the pre-show, they did like a little sit-down interview with Alberto Del Rio, and this is hilarious. What's the name of the lanky white guy commentator they have, the backstage interviewer guy? I want to say his name is Todd. I don't think it's Todd.
No, it's not Todd Pettingill. He doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah, I was going to call him Todd.
I don't remember.
He was sitting down with Todd, and there was just a couple great moments. And I'm so turned around on Del Rio right now. He looks amazing, and he's got this intensity that's like... I don't know. There's something different about him, and I can't place it. I can't put my finger on it. But I'm like, man, he seems so legit these days. But it was funny because he started to interview him, and Del Rio immediately chastises him for, he says, number one, he says, you didn't roll your R's. That's his name. And then he calls him, and no other American, no other English speaker would get this. And the only reason I get it is because of my kid. But he calls him, he says, okay, listen up, Chanchito. And he keeps on talking. But Chanchito means little pig. And the only reason I know this is because Alabama does this thing where, like, if you sort of go, you sniff at her, she'll, like, scrunch up her nose. And my mom started calling her Chanchito because my mom is, you know, she speaks Spanish. And so she calls her Chanchito, which means little pig. And I know that because of my kid.
That's funny.
Alberto calls him Chanchito. He says little pig. That was great.
Match with Swagger wasn't bad. I mean, Swagger is awful.
Yeah, but this is an 11-minute match. The finish
was good with Del Rio doing that move he does off the top rope on the pile of chairs. That was cool.
Oh, really? Okay, I might go back and check this out then.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad match, apart from Swagger being involved.
Yeah, is this it for Swagger? He
should be back to jobbing on Main Event and Superstars now.
That's a bummer. You know what's funny is that I feel like, because obviously I'm not a huge Swagger fan, But this was one of those angles, and I'm like, you know what? If they could somehow run with this that they're doing, like, I don't know. I mean, they couldn't because it's so specific to, like, his past. But I don't know. I'm just I don't find him cartoonishly bad like I did 3 months ago.
No, he's not cartoonishly bad. He's just kind of boring.
Yeah, I know. But point is, like, when he has motivation, like, if he had, you know, a D-level storyline that has stakes and motivation, no, you don't need a belt, you know.
Just see, I don't even know about that because in ring, he's not that great.
Yeah.
He's terrible on the mic.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an interesting look. Just nothing about him is exceptional. So
I kind of like this. He's got the biggest freaking forearms. He's got big, like, gorilla arms. Have you noticed that? He's got
long arms. Yeah,
he's the inverse of Rhino. Like, he's got arms to spare.
Yeah,
his arms come down, like, his fingertips reach his knees.
But he just looks like a guy who's just naturally kind of muscular but doesn't work out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's not sometimes defined he has anywhere. Like a gut.
Yeah.
And he's got no pectoral muscles whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's pretty flat.
I always kind of, like, in retrospect now, I kind of dug the package that he had with Coulter. You know, they were a good package together. They didn't really go places with their fucking...
No.
I mean, they were hot shit for a hot second.
Yeah, a little bit. When they were the heel duo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it's just... Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think... There's nothing more than maybe decent mid-card...
Yeah,
potential and swagger.
You know what, Jack? Just keep on doing your job. Do it enthusiastically, and you'll have a job for a while. Let's see here: the Wyatt family versus the ECW Old Timers.
Oh man, that was a bad match. I think Braun Strowman botched at least 4 spots.
I sort of paid half attention to this match because I went back and rewatched it because I didn't watch the live. I sort of went because everybody said it was trash. And I went back and rewind. And, like, every time I turned towards the TV, I was unimpressed. So, I don't know. There was
one spot where Bubba Ray was walking towards Braun with a garbage can to hit him. But Bubba Ray went to kind of, like... The spot, I think, was Bubba Ray is going to swing the garbage can at Braun, and Braun was going to punch the garbage can into Bubba Ray's face.
Okay.
Well, Bubba Ray went to Braun to do that and stopped midway because Braun wasn't doing anything. And then he said something. I couldn't tell what he said. And then Larry just held the garbage can in front of his face so Braun could punch it.
Oh, my God.
And then later on, I think there was a spot where Bubba Ray was going to do some sort of move off the apron.
Yeah.
Like, whether it was like a Luthez press and beat him down or maybe a tornado DDT.
Yeah.
But you just tell that Braun didn't know what to do. And so it was just a clumsy fall to the floor.
Yeah.
And it was just bad.
That's not good. That sucks. Well. I mean, I don't know.
At least I was right in saying it would be a squash match because it was.
Yeah, yeah. Who ended up like
total squash? Only Rowan got eliminated from the Wyatts.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So who cares? Dean Ambrose or Kevin? This is a decent match.
Yeah, it was good. I still feel like they could they have the potential in those.
This
guys
is the second shortest match on the card. The first one was Rusev.
Weird. So weird. Like, I feel like those guys have the potential to put on, like, a 5-star match. And their matches are good, but I feel like they could do more, you know?
I just get the feeling this is sort of the appetizer for them. Like, maybe they're thinking... This might be a case of overthinking things on their part. Like, hey, we're going to build this all the way. I don't see Owens taking on Lesnar Mania. I know I've heard that, too, but I don't think that's going to happen.
That seems that's something more suited for WrestleMania 33.
Right, exactly.
Like, another year, that would make that'd be awesome.
I can see Ambrose Owens going all the way to WrestleMania. I really can.
I almost when Owens dropped the belt, I almost thought, okay, maybe he's going to be Reigns' first major feud, maybe after WrestleMania. So that was the first thought that popped in my head. I'm sure they'll have some back and forth. They'll have a program over the next couple of months, but maybe that's wishful thinking on my part because I think Kevin Owens should be the main event level.
No, I agree with you. I think the same with Dean Ambrose, though. I mean, obviously, there's no spot for him right now. But, yeah, I mean, you're either right or they're going to go to WrestleMania. I mean, it's one of the two. I think I do think, though, that with that finish, with that clean finish, I could see them taking this. Because who else is Ambrose going to fight at this point? And they haven't. This is a really, really fresh feud. So I'm not really sure this is going to be it.
I agree with that. I mean, they could go back and forth for a couple months, I'm sure.
I think so. And hopefully they just said, hey, hopefully they were just like, hey, you know what? It's you guys until Mania. Do what you want to do. Because you can do that with these guys, I think. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they can make it good. I mean, good, if you think about it, like, you know, the whole fact that, you know, Ambrose comes out with the popcorn and the drink, it's like, you know, almost saying, hey, okay, you're ready for the show. You know what I mean? Like, now we're going to put something on and it's going to last for a while. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. That'd be great if they would actually do a feud where, you know, the belt would change hands a few times.
I know, because we haven't seen that in a while. You know, have it change hands a couple times, make it mean something, and really give us a show that's with some interesting characters. And I think they can do that. I think you don't need... Yeah. It's funny because the Intercontinental belt also almost seems like superfluous in this situation. Like, you don't really need a belt with these two because they can just tell really good stories.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that's the case.
But at the same time, Kevin Owens kind of defines his success by the belt he carries.
Right, yeah, he does. He does, but also against... I agree.
He puts value in the belt that a lot of wrestlers don't seem to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's not necessary, but I think it takes the feud to another level because there's a belt attached to it.
Yeah. With these two, I don't know. Because Ambrose, though, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just think they're both, they both just seem above belts. You know what I mean? Like, it almost seems like you said the other day, like, you know, Owens talking mess or, you know, being upset about his music not hitting. And it being Ambrose's music. And I know it, like...
Well, but I'm sure Ambrose and maybe his motivation behind saying that was like, I'm the champ. That should be my music hitting, not yours.
I don't know. I think that... My thing is, I think this. The Intercontinental belt has meant jack shit for so long that in my head, it still kind of means jack shit, and these two guys are above it. You know what I mean? I mean, in my head, they both should be, like, world champions anyways.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
But yeah, I mean, hey, if they make the IC belt, you know, even better because of this, great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Charlotte versus Paige.
That was a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I like this Charlotte heel thing. Makes me happy. I'm really liking the dynamic between her and Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Because he's crazy dad now. He's crazy party-time dad who's, like, helping
out. When he was wooing in Becky Lynch's face after the match. That was funny.
It was great. Let's all three of us go party. And Charlotte's all, you want me to have the belt, right? Your best friend. Like, that was, I don't know. I really liked that. I thought that was great.
No, that was all great.
So, yeah, we'll see where this goes. You know, obviously it's another cheat finish.
I'm sure there'll be one more match.
You think there'll be one more match? I don't know.
There's got to be a definitive end to it, I think. That's got to be clean.
At the Rumble, you think?
Yeah.
I think Paige has to get the belt of the Rumble, and then it goes back the other way. Then they take that to WrestleMania.
That's a long feud.
I know, but what else are they going to do? Like, there's not a lot of time left. I mean, I guess you could... I mean, if you really want to do something, take Charlotte Becky Lynch from Rumble to WrestleMania. If you want to make Becky Lynch a star, you could do that. Because Paige is already huge. It's funny. I've sort of already noticed this because I like Paige a lot. But I was playing a 2K16 last night, and like, she's on so many of the loading screens. And then I noticed, sort of just looking like, just in WWE stuff in general, like, she's the diva. She's everywhere.
Yeah.
So you have Paige, and then you get Becky Lynch sort of in this mix. Like, she's sort of hovering in this mix. You want to? Charlotte's already a big star. Paige is a big star. You want to get Becky Lynch
over.
The
people want Sasha Banks, too.
What's that?
The people want Sasha Banks, too.
I know, but I'm just looking at what we
have. No, I know the immediate kind of pieces that are involved in the main event of the women's division. I understand.
And so, but no, you have, I mean, look, you have Sasha Banks beating Becky Lynch last night.
Yeah.
So get Becky Lynch into this thing with Charlotte, and then you're bringing Sasha Banks into the mix anyways.
Yeah.
But you can, and so it's like, I mean, look, Sasha's going to be a star no matter what. Becky Lynch is that sort of one who came up, I still think, in place of Bayley.
Yeah.
And she's the one who kind of needs the rub right now. Sasha Banks is on, she's on a tear, she's fine. Becky Lynch kind of needs that rub right now. You can make her a huge star between the Rumble and Mania by putting her in the title mix with Charlotte. And then maybe give, I don't know, Paige and Sasha Banks. That's the thing. Like, they don't all need to be fighting over the belt, you know? Like, we've seen already, Sasha Banks is already doing her thing. Fucking put, you know what? Just bring, what's her face? Nia Jax, whatever her fucking name is. Bring her up and have her fight Sasha. Yeah. She's a fucking monster, man.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I think that's more or less the show, right?
That is the show. That's the entire show. Raw will be interesting tonight. You probably just probably a couple hours away. Hopefully it's not already on right now when you're listening to this. yeah, I don't know. It'll be an interesting show to see what they do. Hopefully they don't drop the ball. Hopefully it's not boring city. I know they have a lot of eyes on them. The ratings should be up tonight after what happened last night.
And hopefully they can maintain the momentum they established.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So we'll see. Anyways, so the next we'll talk to you guys again next Sunday, right?
Well, we still got another segment to do before we're done.
What are we doing? What's after this?
Making It Rains, man.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that. Okay, hold on a second. Let me think about this.
All right, you want me to go? Because I have one.
Yeah, you go ahead.
All right, this is so stupid. Roman Reigns, you know, he is a little bit over now. But say,
I know. It should basically just be what happened last night. If you want to get him,
I know. That should really be it. So he, you know, there's a lot of wrestlers in WWE that have long hair, mm-hmm. and some of them do it to kind of cover up spots on their head that may not be totally filled in with hair.
Yeah.
You know, so Roman Reigns has a great idea. Sure, he makes a decent living wrestling.
Yeah.
But he takes up a side job going to these wrestlers who might have thinning hair and saying, hey, I have something that can help you with that. So he goes to Luke
Harper. He goes directly to Baron Corbin.
Yeah, he goes to Baron Corbin and says, I noticed your hair is thinning a bit. Yeah. I can help you.
Yeah.
He goes to Luke Harper and says, I noticed your hair is thinning a bit. I can help you.
Yeah.
You know, on down the line, all the wrestlers that have thinning hair or have balding issues. And so he decides, you know, this side business for him has become so successful that he decides to incorporate that into his on-camera persona. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he'll walk around the ring and talk to people, you know, ringside saying, I noticed you have thinning hair issues, I can help you.
Mm.
And so he gets back in the ring and cuts a promo saying, I'm no longer Roman Reigns, I'm now Roman Rogaines.
Oh, God. That's good.
It's bad.
That's a good one.
It's terrible.
That's terrible.
It's terrible.
I got it. I just can't. Top of my head. All right.
Okay.
So last night at TLC, Roman Reigns, you know, he cracks, finally snaps. You know, he just wails on Sheamus, he wails on Triple H with a chair. And he's like, he goes backstage and he's like, fuck me, man. I might have just lost my job. Like, I need some sort of anger management because I need to be that cool, talking, smooth guy that everybody loves. You know, I can't be just some brutal maniac out there with a chair who can't control himself. I gotta get myself psychologically in the right place. It's like, who do I turn to, man? I just don't know who to turn to. So he's driving in his car. WWE heads up to Seattle. He's driving in his car. He turns on, you know, talk radio, and he hears this therapist on the air. His name is Fraser Crane.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, look, this guy knows what he's talking about. So he goes down to the radio station, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm Roman Reigns. I'm really interested in everything you have to say. You know, I need to get my head right. And Fraser Crane's like, okay, son, you know, sit down. And Fraser tells him a little about his time back in Boston, you know, hanging out at the bar at Cheers with Norm and Sam and all those guys. And he's like, wow, that's great. And Fraser just completely transforms his way of thinking emotionally, spiritually, mentally, all that kind of stuff. Like, he's the best therapist. So much so that Roman decides to change his last name to Crane. He's Roman Crane. So it's just Roman and Fraser hanging out, like getting drunk and stuff, because that's what Fraser Crane does. He gets drunk and crashes cars.
I have a list of Making It Rains ideas.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I just think of one, I'll put it down.
Yeah.
And there's another one here that I really want to drop right now. I want to tell you what it is, but I should probably wait.
Just wait on it.
Because it's really good.
Don't do it yet.
Okay. I have a couple that are really good. I don't know why I went with Rogaine's. Probably because it's stupid.
Well, it was great. It was stupid. It was horrible.
No, it was stupid, yeah.
Yeah, but nothing that we come up with is going to be as good as what we saw last night. Just do that.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. I don't know. Roman Crane is pretty good. I like that. Because then you can bring in like the longest-lasting sitcom character ever into your storyline, and who doesn't want to see that in wrestling? A lot of people, probably.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anyways, that's our show for the day. Thanks for tuning in. You can check us out on the iTunes.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everybody.
I'm gonna go, I don't know. I don't feel good, so I'm going to go do something about that.
Yeah, go talk to Fraser Crane. You'll feel fine.
I don't. It's not a mental illness that's affecting me, Steve.
It might be.
Is it psychosomatic? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think it might be just working with me all the time has mentally fatigued you.
Well, I think in this case it was working with you because you were sick and then you got me sick.
What wasn't that? Why is it that I can survive this bug with hardly a misstep?
Everybody's different. Everybody's different.
Some people, so what you're saying, some people are weaker than others, is what you're saying.
No, some people more susceptible to certain germs than other people are. Like, I'm sure I could have a cold, and I'll be fine, I'll sneeze in your face or something, give you that cold, and you'll be laid up for 2 days. It's possible.
I'll just shake it off, man. I just dust it off my shoulder and go about my day.
So usually I'll have colds and it doesn't bug me that much, but this one is just, it's like consolidating. It's like a black hole of just
something. You better get your shit right by Friday.
Oh, I know. I'll be fine by then.
Better. That's Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, until next time. We'll talk to you guys later.
Talk to you later. Goodbye.